one that's in there alleging whatever said 200. The one with the black hair said 3 apiece. I said, okay. Put the $600 on the table. Everybody got naked. They finished do what we do. We're in the bed. They're there. I started taking pictures of the two ladies naked and, you know, doing what they're doing. Not even laying on the bed with me. So I'm taking pictures, pulling the underwear, you know, just taking pictures. Cause I'm silly like that.
I'm just kind of silly like that. Ray Giudice, 680 The Fan legal expert, joining us. That was Warren Sapp, by the way, discussing the details of the arrangement between himself, allegedly, and these two women.
Ray, may I ask, just generally speaking, should Warren have been speaking as freely as he was without an attorney present?
You know, it doesn't take a big retainer to get a lawyer to say, shut up, shut up, shut up, or I'll bring over the duct tape and shut you up.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston may need the same warning. He's speaking as well. I don't know if you heard this. Apparently now there's two different stories as to what took place with the crab legs. There was the one story that, I had the crab legs and I just forgot to pay.
That was his story.
That was the initial story. Yes. Then he sits down with Jim Harbaugh to share this story.
Explain that to you. You got them for free. Explain that to me.
A week before is my buddy's birthday. And we had got a cake, and we met a dude that was inside Publix. And he said, hey, anytime you come in here, I got you.
Yeah.
So that day, we just walked out, and he hooked us up with that. And when I came in to get crab legs, I did the same thing, and he just gave them to me. And I walked out, and someone from inside the store had told the security that I didn't pay for them. Mm-hmm. And that's how the whole thing started.
Ray, explain the importance of keeping your lies straight.
Well, if he was being prosecuted, it would be really helpful for a prosecutor to use story A versus story B. But he's not being prosecuted. It's still a shoplifting. The issue really becomes is which team that's going to draft him is saying, okay, at least if you fessed up, did you fess up honestly, or is this a never-ending series of a character flaw? Throw one thing out quickly, and I just want folks to know that this is really going to hit sometime late summer when he starts to be deposed in the civil lawsuit for sexual assault filed against him about 10 days ago. Generally, in civil lawsuits, we have what's called a period of discovery. In Georgia, it's at least 6 months. And this young lady's lawyers are going to ask him under oath a series of questions. They may broaden out into other topics like the crab legs, the show, does he tell the truth under oath? And that's what's called discovery, and that is really where we're going to find some interesting stuff, especially if they make those depositions transcripts public.
It's $33 worth of crab legs. It's not even the story anymore. It's an NFL team having to go, really.
Right.
Are you blanking kidding me? Because there is now this mounting, little one, as you said, Chris, isolated. That seems to be the word.
That's what Jimbo Fisher keeps saying. It's an isolated
case. Yeah, but Winston says, the guy hooked us up on the cake, said come back any time. I came back another time. That's twice, okay? That's really two free items at least. So.
Well, Publix denies it. Publix says, we did an investigation. We sent that investigation to Florida State. I love the fact that they threw it. If Mr. Winston wants to call us and give us more information, we'll reopen it.
Smart.
I got a feeling he ain't calling, and he's telling people are finally telling him to shut up. Don't call anybody.
And what about the poor guy that worked at Publix that may or may not have hooked him up?
Yeah, who the $10 million man is now thrown under the bus. Yeah. You know, so right. But that's going to come up in that deposition because that's relevant as to whether or not he tells the truth.
I love the disdain in his voice. Somebody in Publix.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Full security.
Ray Giudice, 680 The Fan legal expert, joining us this morning. Let's talk about the Morris twins. These are the two players for the Phoenix Suns. Allegedly, there was a text to their mother, and as I sort of delve into the story a little bit more, Home Team kind of broke this one yesterday. There must have been what I thought was a text initially to their mother, the Morris twins' mother, from a guy who claims to have mentored the Morris twins growing up. So he knows these two kids, now men. But allegedly, they didn't like what was texted to their mother. And the allegation is that they had somebody beat this guy up.
Let me separate this from what anybody might think is self-defense.
That's a long way to go to understand that a guy got the crap kicked out of him. It might have been these two idiots.
But as it turns out now, according to the story, it was a sext message, not just a text message. I thought it was like, your mama's so fat. Okay, I'm not taking that. I'm having this guy beat up.
Unless that text message was, I'm going to come over to harm you, where these guys could say, we intercepted a threat to our mom. Which is a self-defense claim.
Well, might have said he's going to do something.
But this was a sex message. That's right. Maybe it was a Fifty Shades of Grey kind of message.
And I'm going to tell you, I think this is going to unravel very poorly.
Now you're speculating.
Yeah, yeah. It's
It's the, right. Please object to that.
Well, but this was a sexed message, so
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
So my thinking is, you know, there must be something more to the relationship between the guy and the woman.
You know, if this unravels, her text messages to him back or earlier become relevant.
Yes,
but what's really important is that these two brothers are charged with serious felony crimes.
Oh, this ain't kidding
around.
They
conspire. Now,
yes,
look, we joke around because of the neighborhoods Chrissy and I grew up in. Somebody insulted your mom or your sister.
This.
The cousins came in from the island and with baseball bats.
There's two stories that we're involved in. You had family who worked in the food industry.
Right.
I had family who worked in the food industry. See the, hey, are you allowed to give somebody free food?
Mm-hmm.
Now throwing the fact, as you so gladly pointed out this morning, it was very Italian of these two brothers perhaps to take the next step they did.
Yeah, they probably know somebody in the food industry, too. How come everybody knows somebody in the food industry or actually has a relative in the food industry?
Amongst Italians, that's what we do.
Most Italians.
What are we supposed to do?
And then again, as you go a step further, you say we could also make a phone call or just wink at a guy or tug on an ear and somebody ends up beating up.
But I like the idea that he thinks that can happen. That's good enough for me. It keeps him in line.
My Uncle Joe used to say the best part about being Italian is you, the non-Italian, never know when it's coming.
You don't know.
You never know when it's coming.
But you know it's coming at some point.
He used to leave the room like with that. You never know
now,
when it's coming.
Now, let me ask you something, because Domino always says, Domino always says to me, I'm going to have to pop you at some point.
Yeah.
Now, when he does, what is my legal recourse?
Well, look, if you really believe it and you are in imminent fear.
Well, no, that's why I'm trotting it out now in front of an attorney.
Oh, that's so cheap on your part. That is so cheap.
You know, he's got me under retainer, so I don't
know.
It's kind
so
of a conflict.
I have to go for
most of the time, you deserve to be popped.
I had a guy. I had a guy threaten to sue. This is a true story. I had a partner threaten to sue me not once but twice on the air.
And an actual partner?
Yeah, a guy on the air just said, "I'll sue you for that." And then I said, "Well, listen, you don't have a lawsuit, by the way. That's just kind of silly."
Yeah, I checked with my attorney, Ray Judice,
because I told the truth, and you just didn't like it. So then you can't just threaten. I mean, you can threaten lawsuits, but at the end of the day. And you got a good attorney there.
That's what I call a partnership, when you've got guys threatening each other
on the
show.
It's like a marriage. It's like a marriage. Hey, there's up and down days, brother. There's up and down days.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of lawsuits, Aaron Hernandez will be sued against civilly now.
Thank you for bringing it back
around.
Thank you.
Yes. I try to bring a little segue here. And as you said, Chris, when we were off air, he's going to be in courts, whether it's criminal court or civil lawsuit courts, for a long time to come. And think of this as the parents of, I think, and forgive me, the two young folks that O.J. Simpson allegedly murdered. He was not convicted in the criminal case, as we know, but those families' parents, those decedents, their families sued him. They had to prove their case to a preponderance of evidence, which is 51%, and they got a large civil judgment. I believe the Brown family and the Goldman family.
Yes. Yep.
And they did collect some assets over the years. And
some stuff
chasing
is protected.
Them down forever. Yes, because long story short, he bought a house and moved his pension plan to the state of Florida.
Exactly.
Florida has very protective laws about the enforcement of judgments for personal assets. That's why a lot of rich people move there.
Now, he could actually end it all and just say, look, I did it all. I'm in life imprisonment anyway. Let's just cut the charade. I don't know if he'll do that.
He doesn't have to answer the lawsuit. It could go into what's called a default. You don't answer a lawsuit. There's what's called a judgment on the plaintiff's pleadings. Then they have a hearing on the amount of damages. So he would not contest it. The plaintiffs would walk out with a $25 million judgment. It's very simple.
We'll find out. Again, did he protect money? Is there money protected? Does he have financial stake in the game to actually make sure he appears there and say, well, hold on, I didn't do this and I didn't do that? I just want to go back to the felony charge on the two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a felony charge?
Well, it's serious bodily harm is alleged, and that doesn't take much. I mean, a simple battery is I punch you in the arm, okay? You get a black and blue. If I punch you in the jaw and it breaks your jaw, that's a felony assault.
And what about premeditated? Like, what if you actually make a plan and get somebody else involved? I'm assuming it's not a bar fight.
That's where
you
get the aggravated part. You can't say it was spontaneous. Mm-hmm. He spit at me. I called him a bad name, vice versa. We got out of control. They planned this, and that kicks it into the felony status.
Let me give you a statement from Goodell I thought was curious. Excuse me. He's talking about Greg Hardy got the 10-game suspension without pay. And he said that after reviewing all of the evidence against Greg Hardy, the net effect of these acts was that Ms. Holder, this is the woman that apparently was beaten up, was severely traumatized, sustained a range of injuries, including bruises and scratches on her neck, shoulders, upper chest, back, arms, feet. The use of physical force under the circumstances present here against a woman substantially smaller than you.
That's really
and it
the
goes
last
on
part
from there.
Is such a poor choice of words, and I'm going to tell
but
you
the
what,
size of woman has
no. It's irrelevant.
No,
the
bearing.
Size of it could have been anybody.
Right. It really is. I'm sure that was reread a few times, and they let that one out to the public.
And, she may be small, but
And quickly, what I think it goes to is just this mindset that has to change about what domestic violence is.
Well, they don't say domestic violence at any point,
Ernie. Yeah, they should have used those words. The term is the personal conduct policy.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't get it. And you know, you think they're in Manhattan. There's so many good lawyers there at, you know, $750 an hour that could have vetted this statement for a couple of bucks.
He's going to appeal. I don't know what will happen. They're going to go with the Ray Rice. You only gave Ray two, and you saw a video, but you didn't try hard enough to see the video initially. They have seen the pictures, though, and when they say four assault rifles and other guns on the bed, that means somebody counted, which means they saw the
pictures.
But
he also has a stronger argument. He was his charges were dismissed. Yeah. I mean, he might have been found guilty at the lower-level bench trial, but on his appeal, on his new trial, for whatever reason, she didn't appear. Those charges are dismissed. He can say, I'm not guilty of those charges, and you're whacking me for 10 games?
But don't you think the way he put that is sort of indicative of kind of the mindset of these people? That the size of woman somehow had...
When I started as a young prosecutor in DeKalb County in 1985, and on domestic violence cases, no kidding, a defense that lawyers and defendants used was... I made contact with her, but I hit her with an open hand. It was, I can slap my domestic partner or my wife or my child. I didn't punch him. Punching is wrong. Yeah, I know that. So, I mean, the mindset's come a long way, but the NFL really needs to get up to speed.
Let's finish with this. The most surprising part is people allegedly in a room. There were women in a room this time. Remember, the whole thing was they brought women in, and they actually gave them titles, and they have positions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the room, and when they read the final thing, I'm shocked that someone in that room, man or woman, but specifically, a woman didn't stand up and say, whoa, hold on. I'm not having my name associated with the idea that you think the size of a woman matters in this.
I mean, the quick argument.
I am blown away that that's public.
Yeah, the quick argument is, off the page
if she had been 6'1 and 280, then it wouldn't have been.
She could have held her own.
That's ridiculous.
Possibly.
That's ridiculous.
Greg Hardy, no pay, 10 games, we'll find out. He would play if it held up his first game against the Carolina Panthers, who paid him $13 million last year not to play. Jerry Jones says, we hope we can come to a real, we understand the importance of this. We hope we can come to a really good conclusion.
You mean like get him playing by Thanksgiving?
Exactly.
Ray, I found out this morning something that I think is troubling, that if something does happen between Domino and I, you're representing him.
We go way back. We're
but
paisans.
For folks that would like you to represent them, how can they do that?
They do the same way Chris does. Cut our thumbs with blood. No, I'm sorry. They can call me at my cell number, 404-964-4185. I've got it set up now. If you go to the 680 The Fan webpage and hit my little blog picture with all you guys blog to, it'll take you to my webpage and you find me.
Ray also, he sponsors the interview with Mark Lemke and myself every Saturday morning between 8 and 10. Danny McLean, Major League Baseball's last 30-game winner, is going to join us Saturday morning.
And federal inmate.
Yes, he was. I think he might have visited twice.
Chris, whet my appetite for the diary, which is coming up.
We are going to look at what the New York Mets have done and really what the Atlanta Braves need to do as early as this afternoon.
That's next on 680 The Fan.